My dear Lord, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds?
Arigato.
Okay, we'll read that sentence again. This is a song composed by Narottam Das Thakur. Praise to Lord Chaitanya, my dear Lord. Please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? Actually, this is a fact. Not only Narottam Das Thakur, but Rupa Goswami also prayed to Lord Chaitanya in this way. At the time of the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami at Prayag, Allahabad, Srila Rupa Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the most munificent of all incarnations, because you are distributing love of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. When Krishna was personally present, he simply asked us to surrender, but he did not distribute himself so easily. He made conditions. First of all, you surrender. But this incarnation, Lord Chaitanya, although Krishna himself makes no such condition, he simply distributes. Take love of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is approved as the most munificent incarnation." Narottam Das Thakur says, "Please be merciful to me. You are so magnanimous, because you have seen the fallen souls of this age, and you are very much compassionate to them. But you should know also that I am the most fallen. No one is more greatly fallen than me. Patita pavana hetu tava avatar. Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls. But I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first." Then he prays to Lord Nityananda. He says, "Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi." My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, I may also become happy. Then he prays to Advaita Prabhu, Doya Koro Sita Pati Advaita Gosai. Advaita Prabhu's wife's name was Sita, therefore he is sometimes addressed as Sita Pati. Thus Narottam Das Thakur prays, "My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, Sita, you are so kind, please be kind to me. If you are kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me." Actually, Advaita Prabhu invited Lord Chaitanya to come down. When Advaita Prabhu saw fallen souls were all engaged simply in sense gratificatory processes, not understanding Krishna consciousness, he felt very much compassionate toward the fallen souls, and he also felt himself incapable of claiming them all. He therefore prayed to Lord Krishna, "Please come yourself. Without your personal presence, it is not possible to deliver these fallen souls." Thus, by his invitation, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Naturally, Narottam Das Thakur prays to Advaita Prabhu, "If you will be kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda also will be kind to me." More, but I'm going to stop here for now, speak a little bit of what I've read so far, and we'll continue in a little after speaking a little bit. Oma Jnana Timarandasya Gnanjima Salakaya Chakshu Anyeritam Nina Tasma Shigurade Namaha Pukam Kuroti Vachalam Pungam Mangayati Ganin Yakipatamaham Vande Shigurundi Nitaruna Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vicharini. Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastacharya Satarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are several points so far that we felt were worthy to elaborate on a little bit about this bhajan. As we said first, that Narottam Das Thakur is offering prayers to Chaitanya Nityananda Advaita Acharya, the six Goswamis, and of course his close associate Lokanath Das Goswami, or Lokanath Chakravarti, Lokanath Das Goswami, who is his spiritual master, and Ramachandra Kaviraj, who is. Is this the. This is the purple you found. Oh, okay. And this is oftentimes found, this mood that many of the Vaishnava Acharyas display their gratitude, appreciation, and dependence on mercy. In fact, he begins in this particular song by saying there's nobody more merciful than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's known as Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, the most merciful appearance of the Lord, because he's come to freely distribute what no other incarnation had come to give before. And that is the opportunity to achieve ecstatic, unalloyed love for the Supreme Lord by the most simplest process that one can possibly engage in, which is simply chanting his names. And Prabhupada takes advantage of this prayer and this mood by giving reference to when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, that Krishna, he is the original Supreme Lord, and he explains his purpose for his appearance in Bhagavad Gita. Whenever there is a predominant rise in religious practice, decline of religion, at that time he says, I advent myself in order to deliver the devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish religious principles, I advent myself again and again. So Krishna gives these as well in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in other scriptures. There are many reasons for the descent of Lord Krishna given. His purpose, as declared in his verses of Bhagavad Gita, was to re-establish religious principles and establish the path by which the fallen conditioned souls who are situated in forgetfulness of their eternal relationship with him could reestablish that relationship with him. Srila Prabhupada says that in the concluding verse of Bhagavad Gita, which is oftentimes referred to as the one of the most important verses of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Savarnaham Pritajyamamikam Sharanam Braja, that if you abandon all varieties of religious activities and surrender to me, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. In that verse, Krishna is, as Prabhupada states here, he's giving a certain condition that if you make the effort, you surrender, And as he says elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, yigitamapapajatetangsatayavabhajamyaham. He says all of them, to whatever degree they surrender, I reciprocate accordingly. Right? All of them follow my path in all respects, O Son of Pitta. So, Prabhupada is making the point that when Lord Krishna descended 5,000 years ago in establishing religious principles again through his teachings, especially through the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, which he imparted to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and his most important instructions, surrender to me, he was establishing the principle that if you surrender, I'll reciprocate. So he put a condition for actually getting his mercy. His mercy was there, but he also states in Bhagavad Gita that most people do not even recognize him as the Supreme Personality. But he says, fools deride me when I descend in this form. They do not know my transcendental position over all that being. They do not know my position. And they would deride Krishna. They wouldn't recognize him. Therefore, many would not surrender to Krishna. And Prabhupada also makes that point here in this commentary. He says, when Krishna was personally present, he simply asked us to surrender, but he did not distribute himself so easily. He made conditions. First of all, you surrender. It was something else I was looking for, but I guess it wasn't here that I read it. Most people could not recognize him and they didn't know him. Many verses Krishna says, Naham Prakasha Shabashuris. Naham Prakasha? Yeah, Yoga Maya. What is the first? Naham Prakasha?
Sarvasya.
Naham Prakasha Yoga Maya Samagrita. Murayam Nabijanati. He says that they do not understand my transcendental position. Because for them I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yoga Maya, they do not surrender to me. They don't know me. How can we surrender to somebody that we don't know anything about? Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion, surrender to me. But most don't know who Krishna is. Therefore they don't surrender. But here, Prabhupada is making the point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who appeared again, but this time he took away the condition whereby Krishna said, first you surrender, and then I'll give you my mercy. Lord Chaitanya, in essence, he took the first step. He just said, and this is sometimes very difficult to understand also, because we have this concept usually, if somebody's giving something away freely, there's a catch. Right? who gives something? Or just like, sometimes we were talking about this the other day. I can't remember where it was. It was in Tuaco. We were talking about this the other day when we were speaking from the bhajan Borosukhya Kapurga, yes. Where Lord Nityananda was distributing his mercy. And he was asking simply to pay the price of faith. That's all he was. He wasn't interested in one's wealth. He wasn't interested in one's position. He wasn't interested in one's strength. He was only looking to see that one was willing to give a little faith in Lord Chaitanya. And if he would see just a little tear in one's eye, he was very eager to give the pure holy name to anyone who had just a little faith that, yes, I want this. This is what I want. I don't want anything else. I don't want wealth. I don't want power. I don't want fame. I don't want to improve my material situation. I don't want liberation even. I don't even want relief from distress. I just want this mercy. That's all I want. And Lord Nityananda, we've explained it, how when Lord Nityananda would look for that qualification in somebody to give them the pure holy name, he was looking for that, simply the desire for the pure holy name. And if he saw that pure desire based on a person's faith, he would give the name. And the result of having given some faith, having given some faith to Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda would take that investment, so to speak, that the person who was giving to purchase the name, he was investing to get the name, he would take it and give them some faith, and then everything that they gave, Lord Nityananda would give it back again. And then they would use that for increasing their own account, so to speak, bank account of getting to get more faith. What merchant do you know who sells his wares and says, you pay $5, okay, for this product. You give $5, he says, okay, here, you get what you paid for. I've given this to you. Now, here, now you've got that, I'll give you your $5 back. Okay? I'll give it back to you, and you could use that if you want to get more of the same. Then he gives more of the same, and then he gives it back again. He says, okay, you like it, it's good, you've got one, you've got two, you want more, give it back, and I'll give you more. Now, you don't see merchants doing that. They'll go out of business. Quite, no profit. But Nityananda, who's spoken about here, who is considers himself to be a servant of Lord Chaitanya, that is how he distributes the name. He looks for little faith, and if somebody has a little faith, he accepts it, gives them the name, they chant it with some faith, and then he gives them more faith, because they're chanting it with faith. Their faith is increasing, which means that their bank accounts, you know, their ability to purchase more is increasing. The more they give, their ability to purchase more is increasing. And in the marketplace of the holy name, the only currency that's used is faith. There's nothing else used in that marketplace. And if one comes in and tries to get the pure holy name with some counterfeit currency, then you know somebody says, I'm not willing to pay what they're asking me for. I want to cheat them, and I actually want something else. I want to be able to get the name, but I want prestige, I want recognition, I want power, I want profit. And the name could be a good way to get it too. So if people come in with counterfeit currency, that means they don't have faith in the name. They don't have faith that the holy name can give everything. Because the holy name, the pure holy name, gives Krishna. And Krishna is the source of everything. When you have Krishna, you have everything else becomes accessible to you. But they don't have that faith. And so therefore, because they don't have that faith, they don't get the pure holy name. They get something to counterfeit. In fact, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur even says, and I oftentimes use this example, because I experience it a lot when I'm traveling through different foreign countries, and sometimes you have to exchange, you know, to get money on the exchange. And if you give them $100, and the first thing they'll do is they'll hold it up to the light to see if the silver strip is there to make sure it's genuine, not counterfeit. So in the marketplace of the holy name, there's somebody whose services is to check to make sure nobody's coming in with any counterfeit $100 bills. Nobody's coming in with any counterfeit faith. Because if those who come in with counterfeit faith, they won't get the pure holy name. They'll get something else. But Lord Nityananda, as we are explaining, his method of distribution was so sublime that Lord Nityananda, even if those persons approached him without faith, he would awaken faith in them. In fact, there's even an example that's used by the Acharyas. I remember, nobody's here from the former, a few devotees here from the former Soviet Union. I remember in the early days of the Soviet Union, I was there, you know, in the very early days, before even communism fell. But when communism finally fell and the Western economies started moving in, the first thing to do is they sent people out into the streets with boxes of samples, free samples of their products. Because people never saw some of these things before, many of them. So you see people standing on the corner everywhere you go, you know. Forgive me, I noticed these things. Like the cigarettes, they would give out all the cigarettes the tobacco industry couldn't sell in America. Like L&M, Lucky Strike. They shipped them all. At least during those, they weren't selling. So the American Tobacco Company shipped all the cigarettes that Americans didn't want to the Soviet Union, thinking, they've been dying for cigarettes for seven decades. They'll take whatever they get. And they put people out in the street corner with little containers, and they're handing out little free packages of Lucky Strikes and whatever they were at that time. I saw it all. Also, even in the fashion industry, everything that was 20 years old in America, they shipped to the Soviet Union. It's the fashions and styles. But anyways, let's not get into a hole. The point is, what is the purpose of giving out a small sample? The purpose in giving out a small sample is if you get a small sample, if somebody takes that small sample, then they'll think, wow, this is pretty good. They want you to come back and buy the big bottle, or the big container, or the big pack, right? So, obviously, Lord Nityananda, he was giving out free samples also. He was giving out free samples to taste the holy name. How was he giving out free samples? Because his method of distribution was so unequivocally pure. So his method of distribution, as he was just as described, is that he would cry, please, please, take this holy name, with tears in his eyes. He'd fall on the ground. Somebody may look at that person and say, what is this person, crazy? Right? Or just like we would, was it last night? I lose track of time. Two nights ago, we were giving a talk about Narada Muni and how Narada Muni came to beg from Bhagari the hunter. He says, I come here to beg a gift from you. I ask for you for something. And Bhagari was a hunter who took great pleasure in half-killing animals. And then when Narada Muni witnessed that how Bhagari would half-kill animals, he felt some compassion for the animals who were being half-killed. And he felt some compassion for Bhagari, because he knew that Bhagari, because he was purposely, willfully causing pain to these animals. He said, your offense of killing animals, because you're a hunter and you live by hunting, is small in comparison to the offense of half-killing them. Because if you half-kill them and derive pleasure from half-killing them, oh boy, the sinful reactions you're going to get from willfully, intentionally causing pain to these animals is so far greater than whatever actions you would have gotten for just killing them. So after explaining all this to Bhagari, he said, I've come to beg some gift from you. And Bhagari was thinking, what is it you want? You want some animal skins? Because somebody comes to beg, naturally he's thinking, do you want some animals? And Narada Muni said, no, I've come to beg from you. I want something from you. I beg you, please, if you're going to use your arrows, your bow and arrows, at least just kill the animals and don't half kill them. He couldn't figure out why Narada Muni was coming to beg for something from him, and it was apparently, he wasn't begging anything for himself. His method of begging was out of compassion for Magari. I beg you, don't half kill these animals because you are going to suffer so much. And because Narada Muni had such a feeling of compassion, I beg you, Magari was overwhelmed by that gift that he came to beg from him. He was begging the gift of his own deliverance from sinful reactions. That's what Narada Muni was begging for. He couldn't figure it out. Why would somebody beg a gift of their own deliverance? That's what Lord Nityananda was doing. He was going door to door, and for each person he was going to, and he was begging the gift of their own deliverance. Not his deliverance. Their own deliverance. He would say, simply please take the name of Chaitanya. Take the name of Krishna. Bodo Krishna. Chant Krishna's name. Bodo Krishna. He's begging them, take Krishna's instructions. Make your life perfect. Even at the risk of, it, of his own life. As he encountered by Jagai and Matai. So that's that kind of compassion, that method of distribution awakens faith, even in a person who's faithless. It awakens faith. How many times did I know when I first read Bhagavad Gita, I was wondering, what was the motive behind the author? Other people, they testify the same thing. What's the motive behind it? This seems too easy. Just Prabhupada every time he says, just chant Hare Krishna. Your life will become happy. Your life will become successful. He was actually following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda. He was following in the same mood. To give freely, please take. Lord Chaitanya took the condition away. He didn't say, first you surrender, then I'll give you this name. He said, just take. If you take, and just with a little faith. Chant with a little faith. And if he didn't have that faith, then Lord Nityananda was so merciful that he would awaken that faith by his method of distribution. That's the free sample. It's the free sample. Just by seeing how he distributes it, with tears in his eyes, crying, begging, please. Of course, some people, if they saw this today, most people would consider such a person to be a madman. Crazy. They don't understand. Who is this who's begging? Something's wrong. I remember years ago going out and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in the Greensburg, Altoona, Pennsylvania, in minus 25 degrees. And first thing people would ask me is, how much are you getting paid for this? Nothing. Crazy. Crazy. I couldn't understand. They can't. It's not perceptible. There's no evidence that's perceivable on the external platform. What is this person? They think that if somebody's making a big sacrifice, there's got to be something perceptible to make that sacrifice. Like either some money in the bank account or some big palace or something. But they don't know they can't experience, they can't see, it's not perceptible to them the reciprocation that one gets in the heart of the satisfaction which comes from chanting with faith, of serving with faith, as long as they find the right person to serve. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the point in this bhajan that Lord Chaitanya came to give the pure holy name. Lord Chaitanya came to distribute pure love of God, not anything, no mixture, nothing. He came to give himself. What is that word? Verse by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Prabhupada would oftentimes quote the verse of, there is no more merciful incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vairagya Vijaya. Vairagya Vijaya Nija Bhakti Yoga. How's it begin?
Vairagya
Vijaya Nija Bhakti. Sikshata Vikam Purusha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira. Yes. Kripam Budhya Yastamaham Prabhupada. He offers his obeisance to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Because he's an ocean of transcendental mercy because he wants to give this mercy freely to anybody with a little faith. And not only did he come to give that mercy to anyone with a little faith, but he was Krishna himself who came to teach by his own example. Because that's also sometimes a very important point, is that one needs to see an example. I was just reading today the verse Bhagavad Gita, Yad Yad Acharati Sheshtasta Dedivated Ojana, Sayat Pranam Pranam Kuru Te Lokustara Ruvartate, that whatever actions are performed are by great men and common men will follow in the footsteps and whatever standards they set by their exemplary acts, all the world pursues. And Prabhupada, right in the commentary, he says, if a person smokes cigarettes and tells other people, don't smoke cigarettes, who will listen to him? And Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself said, I will come and I will teach bhakti. How will I teach bhakti? I'll teach bhakti by practicing it myself. And he said, because if one doesn't practice himself, then who will follow? So I have to come to teach and practice. So he came to teach by his example. And what did he teach? He came to teach by example what is the highest method of loving the Supreme Lord. He's Krishna himself. But he came to make this mercy so easily accessible, not by saying first surrender, but he made it so accessible simply by his name. And this is how important it is to, of course, to have faith in Krishna's name. If that faith is not there, if we think that the name is simply some mundane sound vibration, if we diminish the name by inattentiveness towards the name, if we don't have enthusiasm for chanting, or if we are constantly doubting the efficacy of chanting the holy name of the Lord, or so many different ways we might impose the wrong conception on the name. But for those who have faith, then the Lord says, here, take it. All I ask is some faith. He took away the condition, doesn't say surrender, he just says, I'll give you first. I'll take the first step. First, you take, and then see for yourself. Chant. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here, in this beginning of this. That he says that when Krishna was personally present, he simply asked us to surrender, but he did not distribute himself so easily. He made conditions, first of all, you surrender. But this incarnation, Lord Chaitanya, although Krishna himself makes no such condition, he simply distributes, take love of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is approved as the most magnificent incarnation. Narottam Das Thakur says, please be merciful to me. You are so magnanimous, because you have seen the fallen souls of this age, and you are very much compassionate to them, but you should know that also that I am the most fallen. No one is more greatly fallen than me. Of course, Narottam Das Thakur is taking the position that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patitapavan. Patitapavan means he's most merciful. Why is he most merciful? Because he came to deliver. Who? But not just the fallen souls.
Most fallen.
What is it? The most fallen souls. Not just the fallen souls. The most fallen souls. So, therefore, if one is thinking about one's qualification, if one, of course, sometimes people, when they hear this, they think that they have to self-denigrate themselves. They have to become so, I'm so fallen, I'm this, I'm that. And they have to really, instead of saying, I'm great, I'm the most fallen. Even like one time, one devotee said to Prabhupada, you know, I am the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. Don't be so proud. But Prabhupada was trying to teach the point that be careful of pride. But if one actually thinks themselves fallen, thinking, maybe not displaying themselves. It's one thing to think oneself fallen. It's another thing to make a public display, you know, or to make sure everybody knows that everybody knows how humble I am. Let me make a public display of I'm the most fallen, and we'll get into a competition. No, I'm more fallen than you. No, I'm more fallen than you. No, it's not something for public display. It's because Krishna, he knows the heart, right? Just like there's a very wonderful pastime in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is one pastime when Lord Chaitanya was having his nocturnal kirtans in the house of Shivas Thakur. And there was one brahmachari. And the brahmachari was thinking, he was very renounced. He would only eat some, drink a little milk and eat some roots and berries. And he understood that every evening, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at this particular time in his appearance, in his Leela, he was, every night, all night long, he was with his associates and they were relishing the pure holy name in the association of each other. And many people, non-believers, partial believers, materialists, they would stand outside and they would hear the sounds going in, and many of them would speculate what was going on. You hear these loud screaming and howling, and some of them would falsely accuse them. You know, it's just like, well, anyways, I won't get it. It's like the internet, you know. It's like Facebook sometimes, but people use Facebook. It's a great place, you know, to take cheap shots at people. And it can be used for good purposes. I'm not putting it down. But sometimes it could be used, it's a great place, you know, to find faults and criticize and cheap sheep. So this is what all these people who are outside the house of Srivas Thakur, they were all taking cheap shots at all the Vaishnavas inside. And but there was one brahmachari, he was thinking, I'd like to get inside and see what's going on. And he approached Srivas Thakur, whose home it was. And Lord Chaitanya at that particular time was making it an exclusively only for his most intimate associates, because he wanted to relish with them the pure holy name together with them, because he had a plan. After relishing with his associates, he wanted to take them all into the streets and to attract others to the wonderful Vaishnava exchanges and relishing the holy name and the association of each other. So first he was relishing. He wasn't allowing anybody else in. So the brahmachari was approached Srivastava. He said, let me in. And Shiva said, no, not yet, it's not the right time, the time will come. Let me in. And then Brahmachari was saying, look, I'm renounced. All I eat was just a few roots and berries, and all I drink a little milk, and that's it, that's all I subsist on. I'm austere, I'm really austere. And he was trying to give that as the qualification for getting in for those kirtans. So finally, Srivas Thakur relented and said, okay, I'll sneak in, but don't say anything. You hide, and I'll let you see the kirtans, and then you leave, okay? So one evening, the brahmachari came, and he was well hidden, and the kirtans took place. Lord Chaitanya was dancing very ecstatically as he would experience these internal emotions of love of God. And his associates would also swoon in ecstasy, love of God. And everyone was very joyful. Then all of a sudden, Lord Chaitanya stopped and said, I'm not feeling the same bliss. I think there's somebody in here who's not ready for this. And he stopped the kirtan.
And Srivas immediately was thinking, oh, I'm in trouble now. I let him in. So Srivas decided that he would speak up on behalf of the brahmachari. And he said, but he only drinks a little milk and eats little roots and berries. And he's immediately defending him. And Lord Chaitanya said, does that the qualification to see my kirtans? Do you think that simply because somebody drinks a little milk and eats roots and berries, simply because he's austere, because he was establishing that the qualification is faith? It's not just austerity, it's faith. He said, I'm not going to allow some milk drinker to come in and experience this. And then when the brahmachari heard this, he felt very chastised. And then in his heart, he was thinking the Lord was punishing him, chastising him. In his heart, he was thinking, this is mercy. I'm being chastised by the Lord. So the brahmachari, voluntarily, he decided he would just walk away and he would leave. And he went to the door. And Lord Chaitanya, understanding the heart, because Lord Chaitanya knows the heart, who's genuinely interested in mercy and who's genuinely interested in displaying false humility. He knows the difference. He's in everyone's heart. He understood that this brahmachari accepted his chastisement, his mercy, and he felt himself completely unqualified. And as he was walking out the door, he said to the brahmachari, come here. He was going, but Lord Chaitanya said, come here. And then the brahmachari came back. And Lord Chaitanya took his lotus feet and he placed his lotus foot on the head of the brahmachari, giving really mercy. Such mercy that is incalculable, to take the dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and have it on one's head. It's needless to say, auspicious. And he told the brahmachari, he said, don't think that simply by austerities alone one can achieve my mercy. He said, only those who have faith. And he recognized he had faith in the Lord because he accepted the chastisement as his mercy. And he says, and brahmachari came back in, and then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, let the kirtan begin. And brahmachari stayed. So the point is, it's not just a false display of humility. The Lord knows. He knows. Savas chanam hini sinasana vishno matak smita gyanam apohanam cha. He says, I'm seated within everyone's heart. I know everything. I know from come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. I know everything from within the heart. He knows. We can't hide. So if we genuinely, in a mood of humility, think ourselves fallen. Yes, I may be the most fallen, but I'm not going to try to make a public display of my most fallen. I know I'm the most fallen, and I know it. And because I know it, I know I'm really in need of mercy. Therefore, I simply pray to the Lord, please be merciful to me. Of course, one may pray to the Vaishnavas also, please be merciful, because sometimes Vaishnavas can be even more merciful than the Lord. But what Lord Chaitanya, that is exactly the reason why Lord Chaitanya appeared. He's Patita Pavana. He came to deliver those who are most fallen. So between Narottam Das and Lord Chaitanya, he's making it clear, between the two of us, nobody's more fallen than me. It's between you and me. Nobody's more fallen than me. You know, please be merciful to me. You came to deliver the most fallen, therefore I should be first. Because he actually thinks himself the most fallen. But he's teaching also that, because he's a chaya. He's teaching by that example. He's not just simply making a public display for his own glorification. He's teaching how we should feel. That's what a chaya is. Teaching us how we should think. We are dependent on mercy. And therefore, this song by Narottam Das Thakur, he's specifically glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be most merciful. You will not find, throughout entire creation, you will not never find anyone who is more merciful than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's come to give what no other incarnation has ever come before to give. He's come to give simply by chanting these names. Pure ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord. So, that is the second point. There's more points about Advaita and about the six Goswamis and about Lokanath and Ramachandra. But the mood is somewhat very similar. This is a little bit about this bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur, and I think I should probably, at 5:30, I should probably stop here. Does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask on anything that we've talked about? If it's relevant to everybody. Otherwise, you can ask me some other time.
Maybe it's relevant, I don't know. Maybe it's
can I decide?
Yes.
Okay.
What is the reason behind the Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya had kirtans in Srivasa's house for 1 year, and only after that they go out in the streets. What is the reason? Why not immediately?
He wanted to relish with his associates.
Can you repeat the question?
She asked, why did Lord Chaitanya wait a whole year before he took his kirtan and sankirtan to the streets by having the house, his kirtans and nocturnal kirtans in the house? He wanted to relish with his associates because he didn't come alone to distribute pure love. He came with his associates. Therefore, by tasting and relishing this with his associates, he went out into the streets with all of his associates and he brought them together to give them all the taste first. So that by giving them all the taste, they could go out with him and share that taste. So therefore, specifically those associates who appeared before him and they came to assist him. Because if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the beginning it describes how he sent all his associates first who were going to come and assist him. And they didn't know who he was. So he wanted to show them all that he's come. Because now they were sent to come to assist him. Now he wanted to show them all and relish with them that he's come and was relishing with them. So they all, of course, he presented himself as a devotee, but they all understood his divinity. They understood it didn't take long. And then they came, because they came specifically before him. Practically all of his associates came before him. Haridas Thakur, Srivas Pandit, you know, they all came before him. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And they all took birth in different places throughout Radhadesh, different tracts of land. And they needed to come to Navadvip and to gather with him. So he brought them all together in Navadvip. He first sent them to far distant places to purify those places by their presence, because they were his associates. And then he brought them together and said, okay, let's relish together. So that then, oh, now we know. They relished, and then they said, okay, let's go. And they went out. You doubt that question.
I had the second part of the question before too. Can it be an example for us that in the beginning we have to start relishing by ourselves, the holy names, chanting, and going to them?
It can be. It should be. That should be going on simultaneously. Yeah, and if it isn't, Prabhupada himself said, now it's time to boil the milk. If it's not happening. That's a long explanation, but you know what I mean. Right?
Sometimes I have some friends who have in the holy name, but it seems like maybe the motivation is incorrect. Like they think that they can manifest different things. And so you were speaking a little bit about that. And I'm just, sometimes it seems like their faith is so much stronger than maybe something that I'm experiencing. Just trying to.
Faith in what?
In the holy name.
For what?
They have a motivation. They think that they can manifest anything.
Anything?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Material things.
Oh, material things.
Yeah. uh-huh. that it can bring some wealth or happiness to them.
Well, that's what, maybe that's what they'll get.
But just to see like the amount of faith that they have, sometimes it's a little bit confusing.
It's called Lokika. It's not real faith. They don't have faith in the purity. So, but if you, it's false faith. They can give, but it's not to benefit of the name. We know to benefit of the name is to give loving devotion to Krishna, love of Godhead, which is the greatest gift that one could possibly receive. Nothing greater, nothing higher. So your question is, they may seem to have stronger faith in that than you have in the pure holy name.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm trying to convince them that that's not a good idea.
Well, first you develop your faith in the pure holy name, and then you'll be able to convince them better. Just don't let them convince you. Yeah. It might not be always, not always so easy to convince others, especially those who don't want to be convinced. But a better way to convince is to teach by example. And that's why Lord Chaitanya appeared. Most convincing. Especially in this age. Yeah?
I have one question. So, for getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should first get the mercy of his associates, or how is it?
Getting what from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should get the mercy from the associates first, or how it follows.
Well, that's what it's explained later in this bhajan.
In the bhajan, right?
Yes, he says, if you want to get. He says he can get from Advaitacharya or Nityananda, Advaitacharya, and then he
goes. Nityananda sends Chaitanya's mercy for
them. Yes, yes. We try to get the mercy from their associates. And by getting the mercy of the associates, they give mercy. Yes.
Maharaj,
you decided
to want to answer or not?
I get to decide if I want to answer, okay.
Maharaj, in this old lecture, you're specifically talking about the humility, the mood of humbleness in Narottam Das Thakur. So person like me, it's very difficult for me to be humble or get that into that humility mood, because my nature is not like that. So
your nature is like that.
My nature is like, I'm a little bit...
But your nature is currently covered.
It's become very difficult for me to be artificially humble. And at the same time, it is going on in my mind all the time that unless one is humble, one cannot surrender.
Okay.
So how do I develop this mood of humility?
I think I answered this question before to you. Didn't I say talk about prayer? No? Anyways, I have a quote, the verse. Pure devotional service is subtranscendentally potent. That simply by hearing about it, simply by glorifying in response, simply by meditating on it, simply by faithfully and respectfully accepting that it exists, simply by praising the service rendered by others, even a person who hates all the demigods and all living entities in the universe can become immediately purified. In other words, generally a proud person is envious of others. It's one of the symptoms. So this verse explains that how a proud person or an envious person can become purified, because although I may not have pure devotional service, I may not be pure, but if I hear about it or develop the desire to hear about it, it could be very beneficial for me. If I hear about it, and even though I know it's not me, and if I glorify it in response to what I heard, it can be very beneficial to me. If I meditate on it, then it's a phenomena that exists, and I faithfully respect that it exists, maybe not in me, but I'm very eager to see and look for it in others, and to hear about it, the existence of pure devotion in others. Then if I faithfully, respectfully, that it does exist, and I'm not doubting that it's not possible for it to manifest someday in me, and especially if I see somebody who seems to be a little pure, and I take note of it, and I speak about that pure service to others, not in a falsely, sometimes devotees say, oh, you're so pure. But it's showy. But in a way of recognizing, boy, that was a very pure thing that you did. You selflessly did that. And I really appreciate such selfless surrender that you made in that. And when you say that, then you benefit. You benefit from either hearing, or glorifying your response, meditating on it, faithfully respecting that it exists, and praising it whenever you see it. You benefit. And then, if you don't have that quality, if you pray to Krishna, Krishna, I see I'm very fallen, you know me better than I do. And I know that I've tried so long to try to change, and nothing seems to be working, but you're pure, and you're very powerful. And even a heart like mine can someday change if you help me. Would you be kind enough to help me and overcome this impurity in my heart? And if you pray like that, Krishna is who's in the heart. He knows the sincere intention of the worshipper. That these are all methods for confronting that lack of that quality in yourself that you want to change. But if you don't do it, then Krishna, as we said, as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. That means if you don't take the time to say something to me about your internal problems, and you're spending all your time simply thinking about yourself, then okay, you'll have my blessings. Krishna says, you can think about yourself all the time. you can be proud. You can go on finding faults in everybody. Okay, you can do. But Krishna knows the intent, the heart. You can't hide it from him. He's in the heart. So if you make that effort, then, as Krishna says, you make the effort to change the heart, and not try to change by your own strength, but knowing that you're dependent on him and his mercy, then you pray for that mercy. Without that mercy, I can't change. That's the best way to change, because it's not a mechanical process. Bhakti is not a mechanical process. Dear Shanta Maharaj was giving a class this morning, very nice class, explaining this point. Oh, it's not mechanical. In the temple in Harshan, you came back. It's not mechanical. Not just some switch. Humility. Where's my humility switch?
This point, bhakti is not mechanical,
right?
Huh? But you said just now, bhakti is not mechanical.
Yeah.
Then, if we are chanting and all, like in the beginning, it is like mechanical bhakti.
Yes.
It seems like we do it because of the.
Even, not only just in the beginning.
Huh?
Not only just in the beginning. It can go on for a long time. Unless one makes the effort.
It just goes on like that. Like it has become like a way of life, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like get up, chant, and do whatever we have to do, offering, and
this
and that.
When will it change?
Yeah.
Krishna knows. He knows how to pull the rug out from the proud people at the right time to do it. We can't put the timeline on ourselves. We can't say, no, we just have to be patient.
We have just to keep doing it.
Not, no, keep doing it, being proud? No. Service and the prayer.
Yeah.
The prayer.
Yeah.
And hearing about the glories of pure devotional service, glorifying in response, meditate on it, faithfully and respectfully accept that it exists, and praise it whenever you see it someplace else. Yeah, keep on doing that. Krishna knows when to take it away. The obstacles.
How to get the mercy of Nityananda?
Nityananda? Like anybody, any of our previous acharyas, of course Nityananda is the Supreme Lord. We simply pray to them. Right? And the mercy of Nityananda is also available through Guru, who is a representative of Nityananda, who's come specifically to give the strength required to overcome all of these obstacles. That's what Nityananda is meant to do. Right? He gives the strength to overcome the obstacles of devotional service. Krishna Kumar?
I have a follow-up question on Narayan Prabhu's question. He was saying that few of his friends are chanting holy name and asking for something else in return. But wouldn't it be the same thing that Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita that four types of people approach me, and each one of them eventually would come to me.
Yeah, but what does Prabhupada say in the purport? Chatur vidha bhajante man, jana subhita ojana. What does Prabhupada say in the purport, the commentary? He says each one of those four, if they get the fortune of associating with a pure devotee. So at some point, somebody has to change the motive. Whether it's being like the happened to the brahmachari who got directly the mercy of the Lord through his chastisement or through some other association. If they get mercy, yes, they can give that up. But it's not that it's automatically they'll get. There's different types of sukriti. One's called bhogun mukhi sukriti, one's called mokshan mukhi sukriti, and another one's called bhaktyun mukhi sukriti. So different types of pious activities. Bhoga Mukha Sukriti means the kind of sukriti or pious activity which gives one bhoga, some enjoyment in the future. Moksha Mukha Sukriti is the pious activities which gives one the opportunity to get relief from distress, moksha. But Bhakti Mukha Sukriti is that sukriti which gives by good fortune, one gets the association of a pure devotee. So, it's by the mercy of a pure devotee that these chaturvidhabhajanta, each and every one of them, can actually benefit. Otherwise, they simply get the results of their worship.
Wouldn't it be same, Maharaj, like sadhana and the sadhya, the goal and the means are the same in chanting the holy name or following the bhakti? So wouldn't it be like to encourage, even if for material things we should approach the Lord and the holy name, instead of doing something else?
Well, certainly we shouldn't discourage them from chanting, even though they may want it. So that's why I told them not to bother to try to get them to change. I said, told them the best way is that this you teach by your example, that you're not interested in these things, and you rather get the real fruit of chanting. Yeah, certainly we should say stop. We should tell them stop chanting. No. Akamo savaka moksha kama udaraditi reina bhakti yogina yajita purusha param. Whether one is filled with material desires, whether one has no material desires, whether one is desiring liberation, a person with broader intelligence must by all means worship Krishna. So Krishna can purify you in the most impure place. Okay, I think we should end here. And what's the next part of the program? What's Pierre?
Arti.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj ki
jai.